These recordings of Rabbi Isaac Bernstein are provided courtesy of Congregation Ne'er Yisrael in London, where they were originally delivered.
Parshios of Terumot Etzaveh Kisis of Ayakel Pekudei, we enter into a new area, the area of Mikdosh and Mishkan. And certainly the material is of a different order. It's not, as it were, at the moment, halacha l'maaseh. But as we will see, hopefully this evening, the sources are most interesting and indeed inspiring. Let's begin at the beginning. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe le'emor, daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yikechu li terumah. The opening section is to instruct the b'nei Yisrael that there are contributions which have to be made in order to build the Mishkan. Our concern, to begin with, is the phrase, V'yikichu li teruma. Says Rashi, li lishmi. There seems to be an inyan of l'shem shamayim in regards to taking the teruma. And indeed, if we look in Pasuk Ches, V'yasu li mikdash, again, V'yasu lishmi. The element of l'shem shamayim, which apparently has to be present at every stage in the construction of the Mishkan, even from the taking of the materials which are going to be required. Let me therefore, in illustration of this inyan of l'shem shamayim lishmi, which is obviously a necessary prerequisite in regards to the building of a house for Hashem, let me draw your attention to a fascinating few psukim taken from Melachim Aleph, Perek Hei. And then we'll come on to the Malbim, which we'll be able to follow. Says the apostle, Vayishlach Shlomo el Chiram Lemor. King Solomon sends the following message to King Hiram of Tyre. Obviously, wanting to elicit from him certain materials for the building of the Beit HaMikdash. And he begins his request in the following way. Ata yodata es David avi. You are well aware of my late father David. Ki lo yachol livnos bayis l'shem Hashem Eloko. He wasn't able to build a temple to Hashem. Mipenei hamilchama asher tivavuhu. Because of the wars that surrounded him. Ad teis Hashem osam tachas kapos ragloi. Up to this moment, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me menucha from all enemies around. V'yata heiniach Hashem Elokai li misaviv, ein satan v'ein pegara, v'hinini omer livnos bayis l'shem Hashem Elokai. Now I would like to undertake to build this house to Hashem. Kasher diber Hashem el David avi leimor, pinucha asher etein tachtecha wal kitecha, hu yivne habayis lishmi. So David HaMelech was not able, apparently, to build a house. Mipenei HaMilchomo Asher Sivavuhu. And Shlomo HaMelech now explains that he is under different circumstances and would therefore like to enlist his aid in the construction of the Beit HaMikdash. Let us look to the Malbim, and we will see how beautifully this Malbim is related to the Li Lishmi motif, which we have just mentioned at the beginning of the sitra. Ato yodato, says the Malbim, Hikdim hisnaslus al David aviv. Shlomo HaMelech feels that he has to explain concerning his father, Shlo hisaseg padomer agodol hazeh. After all, Chagoyshke king, you're sending him a message, I want to enlist your aid to build a house for God. So the king, you write them back a letter by return of mail and say to him, if it was such a wonderful idea and your father was such a righteous man, why didn't he do it? A good child. So King Solomon, therefore, has to explain to Hiram of Tyre why it is that with all David HaMelech Tzidkis, it wasn't appropriate for him to build this house. It wasn't because he was in any way lax or not interested in the project. Rakshahoya Torud Tomid Bimilchamosov. He was busy with war. That's what it says. Ibnei Hamilchamos Asherisivavuhu. Okay. Says the Malbim, the Yesh Bozeh Gimel Kavonim. When Shlomo HaMelech says to Hiram, king of Tyre, my father, King David, did not build a temple to God because of Milchomos, there are three themes in that statement. Number one, in Kipshuto, simple explanation will be, Shelivnos Binyan Godel Kozeh, that in order to build a big building, a big undertaking like this, Tzorich Eis Shalvo Vosheket, you've got to have a period of tranquility. You can't undertake a major enterprise like building a temple with all its minutiae, with all its detail, with all its lavish construction, if you're busy making war. So that could very well be one interpretation of Mipanei HaMilchomos Asheres Nivavuhu. He couldn't build them because he was, as they say in the classics, Parnumen. He was busy. He was occupied in war, and therefore it didn't allow him to busy himself in other matters. The Im Mipanei Shekein Gam Mitzvah Satorah Shelo Yivnu Bayis HaNivchor Ad Yoniach Hashem Lohem Mikol Oyeveihem. And the theme of Nipnei HaMilchomos HaSheres Nivavuhu, there's a second dimension. And it is that according to the Torah, you are not allowed to undertake the construction and building of a temple until the enemy has been vanquished. As Kemosha Omru Chazal, as Chazal themselves have said, the Gemara in Sanhedrin and the Rambam Paskins at Lahalocha, Gimel Mitzvos Nitzavu Yisroel. The Gemara reads that Gimel Mitzvos Nitzavu Yisroel B'chinitosim La'orek. The Jewish people were commanded concerning three mitzvos on their arrival in Eretz Yisroel. And firstly, Limnos Melech, to appoint a king. L'hachriz Delo Amalek, to destroy Amalek. And thirdly, V'livnos Beis HaBechira, to build a temple. V'hochichu Shom, and the Gemara there proves by various sukim, that the last item of those three which is to be undertaken is the building of the temple. Kemosha Kosuv, as the Pasuk says, only when HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you rest from all your enemies round about, then the next Pasuk goes on to say, and then the place which HaKadosh Baruch Hu will choose, implying that first there has to be rest from the enemy, and then we can undertake to build a place for Hashem. So therefore, there is a second reason, Mipnei HaMilchomos HaSheres Nivavuhu. Namely, not merely that he was preoccupied with war, but the fact of the matter is, halachically, he is not allowed to undertake to construct a temple until the wars are all over. And they were not all over in his lifetime. And then, the Ode Inyan Shlishi. There is a third aspect to this comment which Shlomo HaMelech made to Hiram, Mipnei Milchomos HaSheres Nivavuhu, Inyan Shlishi Bi'arti Bidrushi Arsos HaSholom. And now we'll see how it works in so beautifully for us. Why it is that the wars prevented David HaMelech from building the Beit HaMikdash? We've given two reasons so far. Number one, he didn't have the peace of mind. Number two, halachically one is not permitted to do so until all the enemies have been vanquished. And now he says, I'm offering you a third theme. Ki ba'asher ikar ha-mitzvah hazus. Truth of the matter is, the main aspect of this mitzvah, of building a house for Hashem, eino ha-binyan atzmo. It's not that you put together so-called bricks and mortar. No. Rak im yivnu habayis, but the crucial aspect of the building is that if you go ahead and build it, yihyeh l'shem Hashem bilvad, it has to be something which you are doing exclusively l'shem shomayim, mibali shum peniyach itzonis, without any ulterior motive, sheyechavnu lahasig al yodo eizekovod oto eles liyatmom. It has to be an undertaking which you assume with the exclusive purpose of building the house l'shem Hashem, with nothing else in mind. And indeed, says the Malbim, ukamoshe di'ek po, and you can see how crucial this theme is when you notice that in the psukim that I've read out, no less than three times have we mentioned L'shem Hashem Elokov, L'shem Hashem Elokoi, L'shemi. Every opportunity to emphasize that the building of a temple has to be L'shem Shomayim without any ulterior motive. Now, V'yodua, and it is well known, says the Malbim, Shekoshemi od al teva ha'odom. It is more difficult for an individual la'asos davar shemitzapeh mimeno revach gadol v'toeles. It is more difficult for a person to undertake something which is supposed to be done l'shem shomayim when he knows at the end of the day there is going to be some profit for himself. And below yivne klal ha'lo'as atzmo rak ya'aseu l'shem Hashem k'mo shekosav kishom v'yorech. And we know that this is a most difficult task, to know that at the end of the day what you're doing is indeed supposed to be done l'shem shomayim, but you know that it is also going to be a considerable benefit which is going to accrue to you, that makes the task of doing it l'shem shomayim much more difficult. Or to put it in our own way, it's easier to fast l'shem shomayim as it is to eat l'shem shomayim. That's the way it goes. If you know there's something in it for you, so the l'shem shomayim becomes much more difficult, because there is an ulterior motive. There is a personal involvement. Now, Ukevar huftach David al yedei Nosson. Now we're coming to the crux of the matter. King David had already been told by Nathan the prophet, Sha'al yedei binyan habayis yimtzeu menucha min ho'oyevim, that there would be a credit, a benefit, which would accrue to King David if he would build the temple, namely, that would guarantee that the wars would stop. And we know this because, in fact, the Gemara refers to this particular announcement by Nathan Hanavi when the Gemara in Bracha says as follows, Kol hakoveya mokom l'sefiloso, a person who fixes a permanent place for himself to daven. The machlokas nishonim as to whether it means even in shul, but it most definitely means that if you daven at home, that you've got to be koveya a special place litzviloso. If you do that, you're koveya a special place. Oyavov noflim tachtol. Your enemies will fall. You will vanquish them. How do I know, says the Gemara? Because in Shmuel Beit and Perek Zion and Pasuk Yud it says, V'samti makom li'ami Yisrael, as soon as there will be a place for me amongst my people, meaning as soon as the temple is built, unetativ, v'shochan tachtov, v'lo yirgaz od, v'lo yosifu, v'lo yavlo la'anosu. No people will ever disturb you after the temple is built. So we see here, shehivtiach lo, that Nathan Hanavi had promised David HaMelech, sha'acharei yivne habayis, that as soon as the temple will be built, Yimtzu menucha meyoyeveher. They will find peace. Ah, says the Malbim, you want to know why David HaMelech wasn't able to build the temple nipnei melchamos asher sevaru, because of the wars? Because he would have an ulterior motive in building it. It wouldn't be lishmi. He would be building it partly because he wanted the wars to stop. Because it is a guarantee that as soon as the temple is erected, the Oyavov Noflim Tachtov. And even though it is a noble motive, who wants to have wars continue on against our people? But the fact of the matter is, it is a peniya. It is a side issue. And it is a benefit which detracts from the L'shem Shomayim. That, says the Malbim, is what Shlomo HaMelech meant when he said, David, my father, could not build it. Nipnei melchamos asher sevaru. Says the Malbim, v'imkein hoya nimna. Therefore, it was impossible sheyivne David habayis, that David HaMelech could build a temple bekavana nekiya l'shem Hashem bilvad, with the intention of doing it exclusively l'shem Shomayim. Why? Basher hoya mitzapeh gamkein hatoeles sheyimtza mimenu lanuach meyoyevav. Because there would be at the back of his mind, or maybe in the forefront of his mind, the idea that as soon as that temple will be built, my problems with wars which I have suffered from up till now will be at an end. So viv shotu alov kol hayom, these enemies that have been surrounding me every day. Rak Shlomo, it's only Shlomo, shevelo zeh hayo shalom b'yomov. who did not have to wage any war from the moment he came to the throne. The And he had already been assured by Nathan the prophet that he would be a man of peace. There would be no wars in his reign. So only Shlomo HaMelech could build it, because up to his time there had been wars, and whoever would have built the temple could not have been able to build it l'shem Shomayim. And that, says the Malbim, is what Shlomo HaMelech meant when he said, Atah yodato is David avi, ki lo yachol livnos bayis. Not that he didn't have the ability, not that he didn't have the desire to build a house, but he wasn't able, ki lo yachol livnos bayis, l'shem Hashem Eloko. He couldn't have done it exclusively l'shem Shomayim, because there were so many more benefits that he stood to gain with its construction, that it was impossible for him to do it li lishmi. What did he mean by that, says the Malbim? Shelo hoyo yachol livnoso v'kavono l'shem Hashem b'levad, mibli peli peniach hitzonis. He wasn't able to do it without having some additional motivation for so doing. And therefore, no matter how much he would try, it would be impossible for him to build it without directing his attention to the Toeles Atmoshabuna Abayas Mipanei HaMilchomo Limso Menucho Meyoyevo. So this Li Lishmi that Rashi has mentioned at the beginning of our Parsha says the Malbim is the motif in the message that King Solomon sent to Hiram, king of Tyre. My father could not build the temple because he was surrounded by wars. And the real message of that statement is, he could not build the temple because, knowing full well that the wars in which he was constantly engaged would come to an end as soon as the temple was erected, because that was one of the benefits already promised by the prophet, there was no way he could build it, because in order to build a Beis HaMikdash, it has to be Li Lishmi. And that means no matter what positive, no matter what correct, no matter what laudable motivation there may be as well, but as long as there is another motivation as well as the Li Lishmi, it is not acceptable. So here we have a most fascinating part. Okay. Let's now move on to one of the psukim that we have already mentioned, Apostle Ches. V'yosu li mikdash v'shochanti v'socham. They make for me a mikdash and I will dwell in their midst. Let us turn our attention now for a moment to the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh as follows. Tzorich l'dah. We have to direct our attention to the following. Lama kira'o mikdosh. Why in this pasuk did the Torah refer to it as a mikdosh? The tekev chozar bo, and almost immediately the Torah changes its language, ukira'o mishkon, and calls it a mishkon, as we have in the phrase, eis tavnis hamishkon, etc. So we have mikdosh, and we have mishkon. What is the reason why the Torah has chosen these two different words, apparently to describe the same phenomenon? Says the Orachayim HaKadosh as follows. Zinireh, it appears to me, ki omero v'yosu li mikdosh, that when the Torah says v'yosu li mikdosh, he mitzvah asei. That represents a positive commandment, kolelet kol hazmanim, which includes any time during the course of our history, we have a duty to build a sanctuary for God. Bein b'midbar, whether it is in the wilderness, bein b'chenisosom la'aret, whether it is when we are in Israel, b'chol zaman sheyihiyu Yisrael shom ledolos, wherever there will be Jews, who tzirichen hoyu Yisrael asos ken afila begoliyos. In reality, v'yosu li mikdosh as a positive commandment is a commandment which instructs the Jewish people to build a house for God wherever they are, irrespective. Aye, there is no question that there was a subsequent development from a halachic point of view in our history. Ela shemosinu she'osar Hashem kol hamakomos me'eis shenivne beis hamikdash. That is true. From the moment a mikdash was erected in Yerushalayim, we cannot ever build anywhere else. Because the pasuk refers to Yerushalayim as Menucha and Nachla. That is the destination, that's not a station. But in reality, the Yosuli mikdash as a command is an instruction to the Jewish people to build a house to God wherever they are, whenever they are. That's the Yosuli mikdash. However, that is why the pasuk did not say V'yosuli Mishkan. Why? Sheyihye Nishma. Because had it said V'yosuli Mishkan, I might have interpreted She'al oso zeman levad nemro mitzvazu. That the mitzvah was given only to the Jewish people at that time in the wilderness. But by deliberately changing the wording and saying V'yosuli Mikdash, and then describing what is to be built in the wilderness as the Mishkan, the conclusion is inevitable, says the Orachaim HaKodesh. Namely, that the Yosuli Mikdash is the mitzvah, which is all-embracing, all places at all times, and the particular way in which the Jewish people fulfilled the Yosuli Mikdash in the Midbar, since it had to be a mobile structure, was by making a Mishkan. So the Mishkan is the Bamidbar fulfillment of the Osu Li Mikdash. The Yachar Shetzivo Delech Klau, and therefore having given us the general mitzvah of the Osu Li Mikdash, Omar Prat Hanaso Bamidbar, then it comes to tell you how this particular mitzvah was enacted in the wilderness, She'eino Mokom Livnos Bo Binyan Avonim, when they didn't have the opportunity of building it from stone, She'yase Mishkan Kiseder Ha'omor. So what do? They made a Mishkan of the type described in Terumo and Tetzaveh. And indeed, if you look into the Rambam, you'll see there, Mitzvas Asei Lasos Bayis Lashem Dechesiv Ve'osu Li Mikdash. Now, okay, so what we have succeeded in discovering is that the word Mikdash is an all-embracing mitzvah, the commandment to build a house for HaKadosh Baruch Hu wherever we may be, in all circumstances, in all climes. And the way that particular mitzvah was enacted and fulfilled in the Midbar was by the erection of the Mishkan. So the Mikdash is the general, the Mishkan is the particular. Now, we embark on some more complicated material. And as already, just in casual conversation before the Shiur, discovered that the simple pshat of what is going on in these Sidris is so difficult that one must really go through every word of the Sidras with a fine tooth. Let us then direct our attention to the problem which we've looked at before, but we'll look at again, and that is the whole inyan of these badim on the Oron. Let us see. First of all, as they say in the best mathematical circles, let's at least enunciate the problem. So what we have is, you pay the cafe, prosecute me. It's a fascinating material. V'yot sakdolo, and you shall fashion for the ark, arba tavaosaha, four rings of gold, v'noch sato, and you shall place them, alava hamosav, on the four corners. Okay, Ibn Ezra, as you may recall from last year, had translated hamosav as legs, but be that as it may, alava hamosav on the four corners. Ushte tavaos al salo hoechos, Ushete tabo'os al salo hasheni. That's the big question. Are these two rings on one side and two rings on the other side an explanation of the four rings? Or are they four additional rings? That's the shaila. And then, v'yosisa badei atzei shitim, and you've got to make poles of shitim wood, v'tzipiso osom zahav, and cover them with gold, v'heveso es habadim batavoos, and you've got to bring these poles into the rings, al salos oron on the side of the oron, loseis es oron bohem, to carry the oron with them, v'tavoos ha'oron yihiyu abadim, and in the rings shall the badim remain, lo yosuru mimenu, not to be disturbed. So, as we will see now, there is somewhat of a dispute between the various rabbis as to exactly what is going on in these psukim, and there are questions also from elsewhere. So So what I have here is a Tosfos in Yomo, in Daf Ayin Beis Amud Aleph. I will try as much as I can to clarify what is going on. It is really somewhat complicated. All I can say in my defense is the Tosfos was a little longer before I started snipping pieces out of it. Says the Tosfos that follows. Follow carefully, it is something quite beautiful. The old Shomati Maxim, says the Tosfos, I've also heard people who've got a bit of a shiler. On what? On the fact that it says in our Sidra, in one of the psukim which I've just read out, that the Badim are not allowed to be removed from the rings. Okay, but Tavaos Horon, Yehiyu Habadim, Lo Yosuru Mimenu. And I have heard a question on this. Why? Dibisha'as Siluk Masoos. Because when the Jewish people got ready to journey and were dismantling the tabernacle, the Mishkan, to move on, what does the Pasuk say towards the end of Sidra Bamidbar? Uvo Aharon uvonov binesoah hamachaneh. And Aharon and his sons came when the time came for the camp to journey on. Vehoridu es parochas hamosach. And they took down the parochas. And vechisu bo es Aharon hoedus. And they covered over the ark. And etc, etc, etc. And they covered it over. Uforesu olav begit galil, etc. Vesamu badov. And they put in the poles. So what's going on? They put in the poles? The poles in the Urim? Mashma, from where it would appear, says the Tosfos, Dibinasoa Hamasoos, that when they got ready to journey, Hoyu Misimim Oson Badim, they used to actually put in the poles into the Urim. Vekoshe, I find that difficult. For Hakisiv, does not the Pasuk say in Teruma, Lo Yasuru Mimenu, the poles are not allowed to be removed? So what do you mean, Vesamu Badov? Sort of a, now you see them, now you don't. Well, how could that be? So he says like this. V'Rabbeinu Yaakov Meorleon, one of the Baliatosos, Mitarit. He explains like this. That Vesamu Badov doesn't mean they inserted the poles into the rings, because they've always been there, Lo Yosuru Mimenu, but rather the Samu Badov means, Al Kisvei Hanoseim. It means they place the poles on the shoulders of those who were to carry them. That's the Samu Badov, okay? Le Holichon, in order that they should be able to carry them. The Libi Mehaseis, which is a nice, pleasant way of saying, no, sir. That's not the way it is. That can't be the interpretation. Why? Because Shaharei B'nei Kahos, the B'nei Kahos who were supposed to be doing the carrying, Lo Hayu Shom Adayin. They didn't come into the picture as Liachar Shahoyu Machnisim Kol HaKelim L'Natek Shelohem until all the Kelim of the Mishkan had been covered over and placed into their jackets, as it were, Kidichtiv, because is it not the concluding Pasuk of Parshas Bamidbar, V'lo Yavou L'Ros Kivalat HaKodesh V'Meisu, the Levim were not allowed to come in when all this packing was going on. And yet, 10 or 15 psukim earlier, it says Vesamu Badov. So Vesamu Badov cannot mean placing it on the shoulders of the Levim, because the Levim are all around, yet they're not allowed to come in to the premises until the Mishkan has been dismantled and covered. The Yosher Hoyonir in the Farish, says the Bali Atosas, I would therefore prefer to offer the following interpretation. The Hai Vesamu Badov, Hainu Shemoshechim Habadim Letzad Chutz, I would like to suggest that Taka the Badim never moved from the rings. So what's the Samu Badov? They placed the poles, mentioned in Bamidbar when it was ready to move on. Says the Bali Atosis, I have a different interpretation. It is well known, and of Chazal say it very quite often, that when the Oron and the Badim, which were in beside them, were in the Kodesh HaKodoshim. In front of the Kodesh HaKodoshim, there was a parochet. And the Gemara tells us that the Badim had to be slid, still in the rings, but had to be slid along until they pushed the Peroches of the Kodesh HaKodoshim out so that it gave the appearance of two breasts, as they state in Chazal. So therefore, what I want to suggest, he says, is that Vesomu Badog does not mean that they actually inserted the poles into the rings, because Lo Yosuru Mimenu, but rather that they positioned the poles the way they have to be positioned in order to allow the Aron to be carried. Because when they were projected out in front, so there was no, the poles were not on either side of the Aron, so that they could be carried. So Vesomu Badog does not mean that the poles were placed inside the rings, but Vesomu Badog means rather that the poles were adjusted for carriage. They had position A for being carried, and for position P when the tabernacle was erected. However, says the next rabbi, Ve'i lav de mistafila mechavrayos, and were it not that I am afraid for my colleagues, I would have suggested a different interpretation. That's the beauty of these people. They say they are afraid, and they go on and say it. Very important. They're not afraid of the editorials. Okay. The love the mistafila mechavraya hava amina. I would have said the following is the solution to the problem. The chet taboros hoya ba'oran. Not four. Eight. There were eight rings on the ark. The chen mochiach apostles, and I believe that that's borne out by the apostles. The chesiv. Because the pasuk says, as I read out before, "V'yotzakto lo arba tavoosav, v'nosato al arba pamosav." Right? That's the four rings on the four corners, and then it goes on to say, "Ushtei tavoos al salohu echos, ushtei tavoos al saloh hashenis." Mashma, from which it appears, the arba tavoos hoyu al shtei salosav, that there were four rings on the two sides. Levad meyoson dalitzi al dalitz hamosav, besides the four rings on the four corners. V'dalit haboos, therefore I am suggesting, in the four rings on the corners of the Oron, mehem hoyu badim kevuim lo yosuru, there were two badim which were put in, which were never moved. Right? Ubiyaba mehem, and then there were another four rings, two on either side. Mehem shahoyu lemata o lemalo, meyosan taboos. There were another four rings, either above or below the others. And in these, hoyu mesimim badim bishas siluk hamatoos loseis es ha'oron bohem v'haino hanach tichtiv behu v'somu bado. Two sets of poles. One set, which was never removed, v'tavaos ha'oron, yihiyu habadim lo yosuru mimeno, and two sets of poles, and another set of poles, which were put in at the time when it came to journey. So therefore, when the pasuk says in pasuk Yudalit, the heveso is habadim v'tavaos al salos ha'oron, it is referring not to putting in the two poles, it is referring to putting in the four poles, two of which stayed, and two of which were put in when it came to them to journey. But now, says the Bali Atosis, being very, very intellectually correct, I got a problem. The Yim Tomar, last line, Lefima Shepilesh, in accordance to what I have explained, the Achulahu Dalid Vadim Koi, that the words Vehevesu is Habadim Batabuos in Pasuk Yudalid is in reference to the four poles, not two. Koshe, I got a problem. Why? Maidech Siv Baby Ahukra, because in that Pasuk it says that the poles were put in Loseis Es Ha'aron Bohem, to carry the ark. Says the Bali Atosis, but the way I have explained it, there were only two poles which were used for carrying, and two poles which were there, betabaos habaoron, yihiyu habadim lo yosuru mimenu. So you have two sets of poles. One set which was permanently fixed there, and another set which was put in only when they needed to travel. But, says the Bali Atosis, the way I learn, because we've explained there's eight rings and four poles, then concerning all of the poles, it says, loseis es ha'aron bohem, that all of the four poles are used for carrying. How can that be? And the Bali Atosos remain with a kasha. Again, just to re-identify the problem, because it is something most beautiful here. According to the Baliatos, the solution to the problem appears to be that if we read the psukim in our parsha correctly, we arrive at the conclusion that there are not four rings, there are eight rings. There are four rings on the corners, and there are four rings on the two sides. Into the four rings on the corners, two badim were inserted, which were never to be moved. And concerning them, it says, Lo yosuru mimenu. And there were a further two poles which were to be inserted in the four rings on the side, and they were taken out, and they were put in as they journeyed and as they encamped. My problem, he says, is that it would appear from our posuk that all the badim that are being mentioned here were all for the purpose of losseis es ha'aron bohem. Let me, therefore, I just realize that we're not going to go through the Revelvel as stands, so let me give you a synopsis of what he says, and on the basis of that, hopefully, we will be able to offer a solution to the Baliatos' question. There is a statement in the Torah, interpreted by the rabbis as follows. Follow carefully, it's quite profound. Umiben chamishim shono, Yoshuv mitzvoho avodah, velo ya'avod od. When a Levi reaches the age of 50, he is no longer eligible for carrying, because they had to carry the various mishkan and mitzkelim. Umiben chamishim shono, yoshuv mitzvoho avodah, velo ya'avod od. Says the Rambam, this is not one of the Tariag mitzvot. Why? Because it is a statement which came to an end when the Bnei Yisrael arrived at the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. Because there's nothing more to carry. It's all there. Menucha and Nachla, like we said before. So therefore, as far as Lo Yoshev Lo Yavod Od is concerned, putting a restriction of 50 on Levium who want to carry, it's all over. Says the Ramban, it's not all over. Because we still have occasions when the Oron is carried. Even after we came to the Beis HaMikdash, it was taken out in times of war, and it will be taken out in times of Moshiach, says the Ramban, so therefore there is still an inyan of carrying the Ark. And therefore I disagree with the Rambam that this particular age limit placed on Leviim carrying various items of the Mishkan, that it's only a mitzvah l'sha'a, because we see that there are occasions when the Ark is to be carried, even after we came to the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. Says the Velvel Brisker, but that's no kasha on the Rambam. Why? Because the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvot, in Mitzvah Lamed Dalet, says that whenever the Ark is to be carried l'doros, the Kohanim do it, not the Leviim. Fascinating. As far as the Rambam is concerned, Velo Yavod Od, there is no longer an age limit on the Leviim carrying, because there's no more carrying to be done. And yet the Rambam speaks about a mitzvah saseh ledoros of carrying the Oron, and it has to be done by the Kohanim. Says the Velvel in the traditional Brisker fashion, there are two items here for consideration. Let us have a look, just after all, since we've taken the trouble of whatever it is, we'll have a look at the final paragraph. Something most magnificent. Ochein nesia ta'oro ledoros. When the Rambam speaks about a separate inyan of carrying the oron, and this is a mitzvah which applies throughout all generations, nira dehu milso acharisa v'din acher legamrei. I suggest respectfully, says the Velvel, that it has absolutely nothing at all to do with what the Ramban has been talking about, namely the transportation of the Mishkan and its appurtenances. The Eino Shayach Klal Ledin Nesia Hu Amura B'Mikdash V'Kelo, and has nothing at all to do with the duty to transport the Mishkan from place to place. Different thing altogether. And look at it, how this man learns Chumash. Umekoro, and the source of the Rambam's din, of the Oron being carried ledoros, is a separate din altogether, and that is found in Parshas Ekev. Bo'ei sahi, at that time, hivdil Hashem es shevet ha-levi, loseis es aron baris Hashem. Apropos of nothing, nothing to do with the Mishkan that has to be carried from place to place. The Torah announces, at that time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Shevet HaLevi, according to the Rambam, meaning the Kohanim, when it comes to carrying the Aron, you got to do it. That is a statement which has nothing at all to do with the transportation of the Mishkan. Ushenei dinim ikebenesiyas ha'oron. And there are two dinim associated with carrying the Aron. There are two occasions on which it is transported. Chador, one occasion is din nesiyas ha'mishkan, when it is transported together with everything else of the Mishkan. When they got to go, they got to go. So they pack up and they go. The Aron goes with them. Right? And secondly, Vedino, and that is something Bilavim, Din Avodas Matzah, Shiesh Bo Din Avodas Halavim. And that is a statement which is found in Bamidbar, which we mentioned in the Tosfos. Vedin Zeh Hoyorat Ad Bawom Leveis Olamim, and that's a din which applied only until they came to Yerushalayim and built the Beis Hamikdash, Umisham Ve'elech, and from then onwards, Poka Din Avodas Matzah, there is no longer a din to transport the Mishkan. Right? Vesheinis, some lines down, and there is a second din of the Aron. Ikedin miyuchod shel nesiyas ha'oron hamuska bepkro de parshas ekev v'hu din b'fnei atmo she'eino shayach klal ledin avodas halavim. There are two separate possibilities in regards to transporting the Aron, says Rav Elbel, learning the Rambam. On the one occasion when the Aron is transported, it is together with all the other kalim of the Mishkan, and there it has to be done dafka by the Levium, and that is a duty which came to an end when they came to the Beit HaMikdash. And it is a second din of transporting the Aron on those occasions when the Aron alone has to be transported, and that transporting can only be done by Kohen. Shall we not therefore suggest respectfully that indeed when the Torah says that all the badim are to be used, losei es ha'oron bohem, to carry the Aron, let us suggest, when the time came to transport the Aron together with the rest of the Mishkan, then we had to follow what was described at the end of Sedra Bamidbar, namely, the Samu Badov. You've got to put two new badim into the sides of the ark in order to transport it. But that is only when you are transporting the Aron together with transporting the rest of the Mishkan. But when you have to take the Aron out on its own, on those occasions when the Aron is to be taken, either to greet Moshiach or to war or whatever it is, but not part of the tabernacle in motion, then there is no need to put in the two other Madim, but you actually carry the Aron with the Badim already inside. Therefore, it could very well be that the Badim which are lo yosuru mimenu are also there, lo seitis ha'oron bohem, and they are to be used only when you are carrying the Aron on its own, under the circumstances when it is to be carried. And the idea that the Aron is to be carried on its own and that it has different dinim than when you transport it as part of the Mishkan is seen clearly in the Rambam, to the extent that for one you need Levim, and for one you need Kohanim. But in regard to the Aron, when it is transported as part of the Mishkan, you have to put in two new badim, like you do in every other article of furniture of the Mishkan. But when you're transporting the Aron on its own, with Kohanim, you're allowed to use the badim which are already. In which case, if we align, a good word for the Aron, if we align the Baalei Atosfos with the Rambam, we have a possible solution to all these problems. Namely, there were eight Tavoos, four Badim, and they were used for carrying the Aron on the two different occasions enunciated in the Rambam. Okay. Well, let us now move on to one of our final offerings of the evening, but it'll have to be our final offering of the evening. One of the most fascinating aspects of the Aron, as you can see, we're not proceeding really by leaps and bounds through the Siddur. One of the fascinating aspects of the Aron is, by all accounts, the Kerubim. And here I have come across something which is really quite special in the writings of the Netziv. I'm sorry that some of the lines seem to be non-aligned, but nevertheless we'll do our best. Let me first of all present the problem, and then we will see how unique and how courageous the Nativ's interpretation is. Let me read out for you, first of all, the Gemara, only a line or two, and then we will have a look at the Nativ. The Gemara reads as follows. It's the Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Tzadik Tes, Amud Aleph. The Gemara says like this. Ufineihem ish el ochiv. Concerning the Keruvim in the Mishkan, it says that the faces of the Keruvim faced each other. And they ask a kasha. Ha kesiv ufineihem labayis. Aye, the Pasuk in Divrei Hayomim concerning the Keruvim constructed by King Solomon says that the Keruvim faced the walls of the temple. They're not facing each other. Answers the Gemara, lo kasha. No problem. Kan bizman she yisoel osin ratzono shel mokum. Kan bizman she ein yisoel osin ratzono shel mokum. When Israel is doing the will of Hashem, they face each other. That's the way we're learning. When they don't do the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then they face away. Well, the Rashbam explains that what it means is that both the Keruvim which were made by Moshe Rabbeinu and the Keruvim which were made by Shlomo HaMelech, either both face each other, or both face away. And what happened was a miracle. When the Jewish people were fulfilling the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, both of these sets of Keruvim faced each other. And when they were not doing the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, both of these sets of Keruvim faced away from each other. And this was a nace, a miracle. What the Rashbam says in explaining the Gemara in Bava Basra. Again, to emphasize that indeed both sets of Keruvim always face the same way. When we are doing the Ratzono Shel Mokum, they both face each other, and when they were not doing the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then they face away from each other. Says the Nativ. V'hinei bebeis ha-bechira ketiv v'kruvim she'osor shalom v'hem idum mitzad ha'oron u'feneihem la'boyim. In regard to the Keruvim which were made by Shlomo HaMelech and that put in there beside the Yoron, they went on the Yoron, they were on the ground. It says, and their faces were towards the house. They were facing away from each other. Nu, ukevar dorashu chazal v'mesechet v'mabatsa daf tzadik tes v'yomru, the rabbis asked the question, and they said, kan bizman she'yisrael osim l'tzorin shel mokum, kan bizman she'ein yisrael osim l'tzorin shel mokum, and the Rashbam says it means that they turned around through an ace. Says the Nativ, no, sir. Vezet hamua. That's not acceptable. Shaharei kisiv b'sha'or she'emid shalomo es hakruvim. It's talking, the pasuk that is invoked by the Torah, by the Gemara, is speaking about a time when King Solomon actually built the temple and put everything down in its proper place. And it says in that pasuk, in Divrei Hayomim, that when he put in the ark, and he put the Keruvim on the floor beside the ark. That he actually arranged them ab initio in that fashion. So originally you had, when King Solomon built the temple, you had the Keruvim of Moshe Rabbeinu facing each other. And you had the Keruvim which King Solomon made facing away from each other. But what does that have to do with Nisim? Nothing to do with Nisim. That was the way it was originally arranged. Ufelosofik asher miyad Hashem olov hiskil la'asos kein. So Shlomo HaMelech actually put it in that way. Keruvim of Moshe Rabbeinu are facing each other. Keruvim of Shlomo HaMelech are facing away. That's the way it was supposed to be. And as the Nativ says correctly, and obviously King Solomon was just following orders. That's what he was told to do. But you've got a problem. What's the Gemara talking about? Kambisha osim l'tzorin shel mokum, kambisha ein osim l'tzorin shel mokum. What's that all about? The Rashbam would tell you when we're naughty, they both face away. When we're not naughty, when we're good, well, we face the face each other. But then it seems that we're talking about. King Solomon was told to put them that way, l'chad chilas. So here's Moshe Rabbeinu's facing, here they're facing away. Make up your mind. What's ein osim l'tzorin shel mokum? What's osim l'tzorin shel mokum? Hello, to my mind, says the Nativ, Perush, the understanding of the words Ein Osim Ratzono Shel Mokom, I believe, has nothing to do with when we are behaving and when we are misbehaving. No, sir. It is a phrase which is to be understood in the same way as the identical phrase appears in the Gemara Brachos at the beginning of Perek Ches in Mevorachim. The Gemara there asks the kasha. One pasuk says v'yosaf zodigonecha v'sirosecha v'yisorecha. You will have to go into the fields and do your own work. And another pasuk from Sefer Yoel says v'yomdu zorim v'ro tonachem. Strangers will do your work for you. And says the Gemara, can be shosim return shalokim, can be sha'inosim return shalokim. Which implies, again, when we're doing the work of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch will arrange that Goyim will do our work for us. We're not doing the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we'll have to do our own. Says in it is. But the words v'yosaf v'degonecha v'sirosh v'sirosh, which seem to be describing what we'll have to do, because ain osim return shalokim, is found in a paragraph which begins Bahoya im Shamoa Tishmuel Mitzvotai Hashem Nachim Mitzvotai Tachem Ayom Liyavot Hashem Elokeichem Uliyavdo V'chol Levavachem V'chol Nasa. And in the middle of that parsha which describes how well behaved we are, it says V'yosaf T'tikonecha. So what do you mean Ein Ostim Retzono Shel Mokom? What's that all about? Says the Nativ, I will explain. Ela hakavano kemoshe kosafti b'sefer devarim shom uvekamo mekomo. So this is a yesod. We can allow ourselves a few extra moments because the yesod is a veloshin yeshiva yesod. I can't describe it any better. He says like this: you have to know she Yisrael nizonim b'zechus hamiyuchod lehem lifnei Hashem. When Jewish people are provided for by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they are provided as is appropriate to the place they occupy in the affections of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Yesh Bozeh Shnei Opanim. There are two ways in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to his people. Ukamo Malchusa Diyaro. Let's take the example from an earthly king. Shemefaneis Kol Hamon Amo, who provides Parnasa for the majority of his people. Vishvil She'ovdim Es Admas Arso, because they work his fields. And therefore, how much do they get? How hard they work? As they say in the vernacular, seasonal adjustment. Right? If it's a good year, if the climate is with them, okay. If the climate is not so clement, then it's bad. That's one type of way in which the Hamonam get their parnasa from the king. They work his field, and they get a proportion or whatever it may be. And there is another way in which you get parnasa from the king. Mefarneis hamelech anshei chelo meginzei hamelucha. The king provides parnasa for his army from the treasure. Bishvil shetovzim hacherev. Bishvil shemirah kevod malchuso. Because the army defends the honor of the king and his land. V'yelu einoskim kemiyat klal b'hachonis parnasotim. And they never see a field. They're in the army and they get supported by the king. See, you've got people who go into the fields to work, and their parnasa is directly resultant on the type of work that they put in and the elements. And then you've got the army, which is provided for by the king. Nothing to do with the elements, nothing to do with the hard work. They do their job. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks after them. The Yodua, and is it well known, doesn't it, is Shehamelech Ohei V'yoser Anshei Chelo Balei Milchamto V'eino Bosh L'daber V'yisatorichim Ish Milchoma Ma'ashi Ein Kein Im Ovdei Admosu O'chadoma. Who does the king love more? The people who are in the fields working his soil, or the people who are defending his honor and his land against all comers? It's obvious that the king has a soft spot for his army. They are the people he relies on, whose loyalty he respects and hopes for. Those are the two types of parnasa that are provided for by the king. Kach Yisrael Nizonim. And these are exactly the two ways in which Israel are sustained. O b'zechus avoda o tefillah, either in the zechus of korbanos and tefillah, the oz aleihem lehatriach ulehokhin kol tzorchom. And if they are being sustained by virtue of the korbanos and their tfilos, then the korbanos and tfilos only make HaKadosh Baruch Hu well disposed towards them, so that when they go into the fields and work the land, that the elements will be clement and they will have a successful harvest. But korbanos and tfilos are no substitute for work. Korbanos and tfilos make HaKadosh Baruch Hu feel well disposed to them, if their korbonos and tefillah are done b'lev sholem. But at the end of the day, the success will depend on what they themselves are doing. That's one way. O b'zechus milchamto shel Torah. Or another way in which they are sustained is if they belong to the army of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And who is the army of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Those people who are involved in milchamto shel Torah. Shehem onosim v'shomrim kavod malchuso yisbora. They are the ones who defend the king's honor, the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the ones who are devoted 150% to the study and observance of his Torah. Ukevar yodua, and it is well known, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chafetz be'elu horomdim lifnei Hashem kishorim hametzionim b'halacha yoser mimishkanos Yaakov v'avoda. And it is well known that HaKadosh Baruch Hu prefers those who are totally involved without any other distraction in the study of Torah to the exclusion of all else more than those who have a combination of working the field and coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through korbonos and through tefillah. The Al Kain, therefore, Bamidbor, when we were in the Midbor, Shahoya Iker Ha'esek Batorah, the Jewish people as a people were involved exclusively in the study of the Torah, and therefore they are, by comparison with the Moshel, they are the army of Hashem. And we know, Shalom Nitno Eloliokli Hamon, that the Torah was only given to those who ate man. In other words, since they were exclusively involved in Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked after their parnassah. Is the HaKorbonos Lo Hayu Ela Bishvil Yiyud? The korbanos were not there to ensure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would bless their harvest and bless the work of their hands. But the korbanos were there, as the Nesiv has explained elsewhere, only so that it was an opportunity for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael to come together. Therefore, if you want to know what is the ideal situation and to which type of endeavor does HaKadosh Baruch Hu respond most favorably, it is to those who are exclusively involved in Torah, to the extent that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself will have to provide for them, as the king provides for his army, and to indicate how HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to that type of Jew, those type of Jews, it says about the kruvim which Moshe Rabbeinu made, Ufenehem Ish El Achiv. And that Osim Ratzono Shel Makom, it means that nothing could be better. There could be no higher way of living than to be involved exclusively in the study of Torah, and this is the equivalent of Hashem's army, for whom he is not only prepared to provide, but delighted and ecstatic to provide. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mashkiach aleihem b'ayin yofeh kiv'yochol b'yahava. Ma she'ein kein klal Yisrael mizman beit habechira. But this was not the case when the Jewish people came into Eretz Yisrael. Shehayu mezonos Yisrael bo al yedei zechus avoda. Because there, the Jewish people had a different lifestyle. They went in and they went into the fields and they started to work the fields, and they were being sustained by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the zechus of avodah, in the zechus of the korbanos which were being brought. Mishum hachi ketziv, that is why it says about them, ufenehem labayis. Their faces were turned towards the house, meaning that dependent on what went on in the Beit HaMikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was prepared to give them a successful harvest or not. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hoya eino v'libo al avodas habayis, v'chein Yisrael hoya ze nesiyas eineim v'sikvosom shetekubal avodas habayis v'rosh. So therefore, says the Nativ, osin v'tzona shel mokom and ein osin v'tzona shel mokom has nothing at all to do with behaving and misbehaving. Osin v'tzona shel mokom and ein osin v'tzona shel mokom means the following. There are two ways in which we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the same way as there are two ways in which we serve our king. Either we work his land, or we defend his honor. So it is with the Jewish people. Either we work his land, which is also what HaKadosh Baruch Hu enjoys, but compared to those who have abandoned all thoughts of physical and material welfare, and have consecrated their lives entirely to the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, compared to them, the ones who have it only, advisedly please, only the Shmiras HaMitzvahs B'Tachlis HaHidur, but without this unique lifestyle of commitment to exclusive basic HaTorah, they are called Ein Osav Ratzon HaShemah. That is why the Gemara in Brachos can say V'yosafta D'gonecha is speaking about a period when we are not Osin Ratzon HaShemah, because the Parsha makes no mention of Limud Torah. It's only towards the end of Ahayim Shemoah that it says V'limadetem Osamis B'neichem. But the beginning of the parsha of Ahayim Shemoah is Hakali Yogdom. We are serving Hashem B'chol Avavichem B'chol Nafshechem. But there is no reference to Limud HaTorah. And when there is no reference to Limud HaTorah, it implies a lifestyle, style one, where we are committed to working the land, and where we are committed to bringing our korbanos, and we are committed to davening uliyovda b'chol avavachem, ezehi avodah shemaleif ha'ezeh tefillah. But it is not the lifestyle which HaKadosh Baruch Hu prizes above all else. Therefore, in conclusion, when the Torah asks the contradiction between the Kruvim that Moshe Rabbeinu made through Bezalel for the Yoron and the Kruvim that were established by Shlomo HaMelech in the Beit HaMikdash, the contradiction is between the Kruvim as they stood from day one. From the moment King Solomon put his Kruvim into the Beit HaMikdash, he put his Kerubim next to those of Moshe Rabbeinu, which were on top of the ark and which faced each other. And Shlomo HaMelech deliberately placed his Kerubim on the ground and made them face away from each other. Because Shlomo HaMelech wanted the people to know that even though Peneim Lavayas, even though when they work in the field, and even though when they bring their Korbanos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it is something which is noble. But if you want to, as they say in the English examination questions, compare and contrast, then you have to know that the ultimate lifestyle which HaKadosh Baruch Hu laws above all else is represented by Eisek HaTorah, and that is Ufeneihem Ish El Osh. And this in its own way is a fascinating glimpse into the theme of Kruvim, because what it implies therefore is that when they came into Eretz Yisrael, there were two lifestyles. One is lauded and one is not as lauded. But the fact that they go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and with this I conclude, the fact that they are both in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and I'm not going to say, Ad kan divrei hanetziv, mikan divrei Rav Yitzchok. I suggest, and there's a message here, and I brought the Netziv because the Netziv in itself is golden. But there is another reason, and that is we have to remind ourselves that if those Kerubim which face away from each other, which depicts a lifestyle where it is not exclusively devoted to Torah, then we have to recognize that if it's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it is an equally authentic Jewish lifestyle. It might not be as praiseworthy as others. There may be another style which is even more praiseworthy. The fact of the matter is, it is legitimate as a lifestyle. And therefore, there is no place in this type of development for what I call, without further expansion, because the hour is late, for claustrophobic arrogance. Everybody has their own place. Everybody has their own way to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shlomo HaMelech's way, for me, is as authentic as that of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the tragedy is, when people try not only to say mine is better, but yours is illegitimate, that is when the problems arise. We have to recognize, and that's what the Netziv says, Ein Osim Ratzono Shel Mokom. Not true. If it was the Zayn Osim, the Tunish Mokum, Pshuta Kamashmo, then why would Shlomo HaMelech Lechatchila put them that way? We have to recognize, I emphasize again, there are many, many ways of coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And surely part of that way is to recognize that this is a legitimate lifestyle and the other is a legitimate lifestyle. When we have to destroy everything that doesn't agree with ours in order to make us feel more secure, we are doing a disservice to Torah, and we are certainly doing a disservice to ourselves. Because as Hirsch points out, if the only way we can establish the truth of Torah is on a foundation of lies, then the truth isn't worth it. Truth has got to be founded on truth. If the only way we can make Gedolim out of our Gedolim is by rewriting history, The only way that we can look up to our gadolim is because we believe that they were born with grey beards and were gadolim at age 3. It's a terrible style. If we cannot live with the truth, then we have no right to be living with Torah. Torah was truth. And distortion is the beginning of the end. We'll leave it over here.